This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, professional bettor Todd Wishnev from the Beating the Book podcast, Showtime Series Action, will join us, and we will talk college basketball as college basketball takes center stage really for the first time this season for a lot of people. With football out of the way, it's, believe it or not, less than a month until Selection Sunday. So we will get Todd's thoughts on some sleeper teams, who's overrated, who's underrated, and we will get into everything with Todd. And I'll just start here with college basketball because, like I said, this is the first week where no football, no Super Bowl, no Super Bowl hype, no conference finals matchups in the NFL. It is all college basketball. And the big game of the weekend, Auburn beats Alabama on the road. Alabama was actually favored by a point and a half, even though Auburn is number one. And if you look at some of the KenPom stuff, they're not only the best team in the country, but a once every 5 to 10 years kind of best team in the country. That good. I don't want to use the word generational because that might be a stretch, but a legitimately great, great basketball team. And they proved it on Saturday. Now, they went into Bama. Now, part of it, Bama shot the ball terribly for three. I think it was 5 of 27 from three. So that's part of it. Anytime you're going to get a team that shoots that many threes and hold them to five makes, you're going to have a good chance to win. But a great win, a statement win. These teams are going to play again in Auburn in a couple weeks. And who knows? They might play again in the SEC tournament, maybe the final. And they might even play again in the Final Four because Bama's going to get one or a two seed, and the SEC is loaded. The NCAA tournament, the NCAA came out with their top 16 teams, their sort of mock preview bracket. Five of the top six were in the SEC. And it's just a loaded conference, maybe up to a dozen, maybe 13 teams are getting in. So they are a really good conference. But I would break it down like this. Now, this of all the sports, college basketball is the least likely to, hey, you just look at the two best teams and you get ready for them to play in the finals. It just doesn't work like that. And obviously, a lot of that is the single elimination nature of the tournament. These are younger kids. So the fact that Duke and Auburn are the two best teams does not make it inevitable. It doesn't even make it likely that these teams are going to meet in a possible national title game. But if that ever is the title game, these are the two best teams, and that's why you can't just pencil in Auburn for a national title like you could have this time last year with UConn, because there was no Duke to Auburn to UConn last year. Like UConn, it was a standalone great team. Okay, there was Purdue. Okay, there was Houston. This year, Auburn is great. They're maybe every bit as good as UConn, you could argue, but they have a team like Duke here who's legitimately a powerhouse team with Flag, who's going to be the number one pick. And if that is the game, Flag the number one pick, Flag and Broom from Auburn, the two best players in the country. Duke, believe it or not, hasn't won a title in 10 years, hasn't been to a title game in 10 years. That would be just an awesome monster game. So, again, it's looking way ahead. It takes chalk to hold, but they are the two best teams. And look, we got it last year. UConn versus Purdue, as much as, and this usually, this holds up for a lot of the tournament, as much as you think about the upsets and the buzzer beaters and all the madness that the NCAA tournament brings that we all love, it's very rarely, and I say rarely, it's almost never a team that wins it all that we're shocked. It's still one of the blue bloods. It's just their path gets, the path there gets altered sometimes, and you get some upsets with the other one or two seeds, but the team that holds up the trophy is usually a legitimately great team. The one exception, maybe, I would actually, now that I think about it, the UConn team from 2014 was not a great team. The team was Shabazz Napier, who was a fringe NBA player. They had no other NBA players. That's the exception. But for the most part, when you look up at the end, just no matter how many upsets you have, it's usually a top five or six team. And it's usually somebody that wouldn't surprise you if you told them before the tournament that this team's going to win it all. So you don't, as much as we get upsets, the tournament champion is very rarely something that's an upset. But Duke and Auburn, clearly the two best teams. Some other takeaways from the weekend. Speaking of UConn with just an awful, unspeakable, unimaginable loss to Seton Hall. They're up five late. They can't inbound the ball. They're up six in overtime. Maybe it was vice versa. They're tripping over themselves. They're traveling. Oh, my goodness. What a disaster. Hurley, it's almost like Hurley's ego has gotten the best of him here, and he's just got to get back to coaching the team. Maybe that's playing the results a little bit, but they don't defend. They shoot themselves in the foot with stupid mistakes. Now, granted, this is coming off of one of, if not their best performances of the year, where they're down 14 to Creighton. They come back and they win. I think it was Tuesday night against Creighton, a very impressive win. for UConn. You figure, all right, maybe they're getting it back together. They're figuring it out, and they're going to be dangerous. A Seton Hall team that was 6-18 that have lost to some of the worst teams in the country. They haven't been competitive, and then you not only lose to blow the lead you had. UConn is, I don't think even if they finished the season poorly, they would miss the tournament. But they're at least putting themselves in a situation where they're on like the 8-9 line. And of course, you could look at it at the other way and say, you know what? If I'm Auburn, if I'm Duke, do I, as bad as UConn has been, as up and down as they've been, do I really want to see them in the second round of the tournament, the round of 32? Is that really what I want? Probably not. But this UConn team just looks like it has holes all over the place. They don't defend. Hurley, the antics have gotten a little old. It feels like he just needs to go back to coaching the team. And every game, it seems, with him, he's always arguing with the refs, but he's going back at it with the fans. He's mouthing off to somebody. And that stuff is one thing when you're winning and you're winning championships. It's another when you're losing a Seton Hall and you've lost a million games like they have this year. They got swept in Maui. It was a bad start to the season. So I'm not sure what to make of UConn. They're going to be a scary team for people to pick against. But if you think UConn is just going to flip a switch when March comes and they're going to make a run deep into the tournament, I do not see it. This is not the same team. They are much more likely one and done than them doing anything of significance come March. Speaking of the Big East, St. John's, a nice win over Creighton on Sunday, and they're setting themselves up. I don't think they can win it on, to be honest. Patino's a great story. The fact that St. John's is good again is a great story. I've talked about them, I think, on this podcast and other places about being a sleeper. I actually haven't bet them, so I'm just kind of rooting against them, because if they ever won and I didn't have a bet on them, it would be frustrating because I have talked about them a lot. I don't know that they have the shooting, the outside shooting, the free throw shooting to be able to win six games in a tournament. If you're going to bet them, maybe you bet them to make a Final Four, or maybe, you know, you bet them to win it all, and once they get to the Final Four, you can hedge, that kind of thing. But the way the bracket breaks out, and similar to the UConn run last year where UConn didn't have to leave home. Remember, they played in Boston, then they played they played in New Jersey, then they played in Boston, and they didn't have to get on a plane until they went in the Final Four. St. John's, if they stay in the East region, would go to Providence for the round of 64 and 32. And then if they won that, the East regional final is in Newark, New Jersey. So St. John's, if they can stay in the East, now I don't think that's fair to have a four seed, and they're projected to be right around a four seed right now. I don't think it's fair to give a four seed to home court advantage, but if they are in the East, that is a major, major advantage for St. John's, who could could theoretically win four games, go to a Final Four without having to get on a plane, have a mini home court advantage. And then that would be good for the sport. I mean, you could say what you want. You could like Patino or not like Patino, but he's passionate about the sport. He's a throwback. He coaches his guys hard. He's back in the mix. I'm sure these other programs are just kicking themselves. Okay, he had all the scandals at Louisville, but why did we not give this guy a shot? He's coaching in Greece. He's coaching in Iona. St. John's finally gives him a chance. These other teams with struggling programs have to be thinking, what the hell? Why were we so worried about the morals, the optics of, all right, he did this or that. He was paying players. He was doing whatever he was doing. Should not have been enough. And I get his age probably factored into it too, with the baggage, if you want to call it baggage, factored in with the age. If you know what, we're going to go in a different direction, we're going to hire a younger guy. I understand that. But if you want to win, you hire Patino. And St. John's, they wanted to win. They haven't won in a long, long time. They hired Patino and they're winning. It's as simple as that. I mean, it really, it's as simple as that. They were number nine in the country coming into this week. They did lose earlier in the week to Villanova last Tuesday, and then they beat Creighton. So I don't know what that does to the ranking. The ranking doesn't really matter. They were on the four line in the projections by the NCAA tournament. But good for them. They hired Patino. They did what a lot of other programs probably could have done, should have done. I'm sure wish they have done, would have done, now that they look back and they're having all the success in these other programs. I mean, look, Louisville's back on track now, but how much would Louisville in past years would have liked to have a Patino or these other teams that are struggling? It's as simple as you hire him, you're going to win. And he's won everywhere he's gone in college. Not a pro coach, not an NBA coach. We know that. But he's won at the highest level you could possibly win in college. He's won everywhere. And he's winning again at St. John's. It's a good story, and they'll be a team to watch in the tournament again. They're tough to watch sometimes, miss a lot of shots. There's a lot of there were a lot, a couple sequences against Creighton closing that game out on Sunday, and that landed right around the number 6, 6.5, and ends up landing on six. They missed the first free throw, they missed the second free throw, they grab the offensive rebound, they get fouled again, they miss more free throws, they grab another rebound. It's not always the most aesthetic thing to to watch. It's not pretty basketball, but they play hard, they play good defense, they rebound. And they're going to just be tough to beat because if they can ever get in a game where they hit threes, they can really beat anybody. So they're going to be a tough style. The whistle's going to matter for them. The whistle's going to matter for them in the tournament because you can officiate them, one of two ways. If you let them play and you let them basically maul you and mug you all game, it's going to be hard to score on them. If you call them with a tight whistle, different story. Then it's going to be, parade to the free throw line. But Pitino, knows how to work the refs. He's going to intimidate you on that sideline. It's going to be hard to blow that whistle time and time again with him screaming at you. So they will be a fun team to keep an eye on here. They do play UConn again coming up here in a couple of games. So college basketball front and center a couple of weeks. I mean, you look up, it's February 17th. Now, only a couple of weeks till conference tournaments, a week or two. And those conference tournaments are great. You get games on all day, all night. And before you know it, you'd look up. And it's the NCAA tournament, and then, once the NCAA tournament is back, that's as good a time as any during the sports calendar. That leads right into baseball and NBA playoffs, all of the things, warmer weather. So, the doldrums of February are tough. The weather's bad. No football. NCAA tournament hasn't started yet. This is definitely the dead time of the year, but the doldrums don't last as long as they used to with the Super Bowl and the football season being extended longer than they used to with the extra week. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like the football season, before we know it, it's going to have an 18-week regular season, and that time between the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament is going to be even shorter. But coming up next, Todd Wishnev will get his thoughts on college hoops. Excited to talk to him. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him on the Beating the Book Megapod, the Showtime series action. It's our buddy. He's back, Todd Wishnev. The great Todd Wishnev. Todd, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, what's up, Willie?
It's funny. This time last year, I don't know if you remember, we did a show week after the Super Bowl, Sunday after the Super Bowl. It was President's Day weekend, and we talked about UConn. I was like, why aren't we just betting them to win the title? And the more we talked about it, the more we liked it. I know
We
I ended up
did.
betting them. I'm not sure if you did. Do you feel the same way about Auburn?
Had
We
him
were
11
hanging
to
the number
one.
too short. And I don't have the odds up now with games being played on Sunday night. Does the fact that Duke keep you away is basically what I'm asking you, is Auburn this year's UConn?
I had UConn 22 to 1 2 years ago and 11 to 1 last year, and I rarely bet futures. So it was kind of odd that I had those two because I don't really bet that many futures. And if I do, it's usually just something small. But I loved UConn both of the last 2 years. And the answer is absolutely, in my opinion, the answer is no. They are not this year's UConn. So why don't you just put that back in your sack and this is ridiculous talk, okay? Get real.
Would you expand on why they're not this year's UConn?
Because they're just not. UConn
Okay.
was just a juggernaut, and I thought it was pretty obvious that UConn was a juggernaut. I mean, this Auburn team's good, don't get me wrong. I think they're a fantastic team, but they're not UConn. I mean, come on, UConn won the NCAA tournament without like having a single digit win, if I remember correctly. You really see Auburn doing that?
No. But I wouldn't have seen UConn doing that. And to bring up the one from 2 years ago, UConn went into that tournament on shaky ground. They were not the UConn, we came to expect. They were not this juggernaut 2 years ago. They were better last year. I think they only had three regular season losses, but UConn was more out of nowhere 2 years ago. So, I mean, I never think anyone's going to do what UConn did these last 2 years. It's just not how the tournament works, which makes what they did so impressive, so remarkable.
They had a little hiccup with some injuries mid-January of 2 years ago, if I remember correctly. But then toward the end of the year, they put it all back together. And I loved Hurley as a coach. I just loved the talent they had. To me, it was just the best team, clearly, both of the last 2 years. And I just don't see it. Maybe, look, obviously, I could be wrong, but I just don't see Auburn. I mean, Auburn's obviously a very, very good team. I'm not saying they're not. I just don't think they're UConn. I mean, Auburn has what? Two losses. They lost at Duke by six, and they lost at home to Florida. Those are legitimate losses, obviously. But I don't know. I just don't see it.
KenPom does have them as one of the better teams of the last decade. I haven't seen Aaron Schatz's numbers. I know we always joke about the Ravens being one of the best teams of all time, and you have issue with that. So
Yes.
it is funny how the numbers seem to love them, but I would tend to agree. I think the presence of Duke, the fact that I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that dominant of a team. That being said, if I made you pick a champion right now, who would you pick? Forget the odds for a second. We'll get to some sleepers, but if just right now, I have to pick a champion. Your answer would be what?
Florida?
Really? Okay.
I like Florida. I mean, obviously there's the big contenders are Auburn, Duke, Houston, Florida, I guess Tennessee, even Alabama, Iowa State, maybe Texas Tech. Those are the big names. I just like Florida. I think, they did beat Auburn. I just there's just a lot of talent on that team, the way I look at it.
Of any of those top 10, 12 teams you mentioned, who do you trust the least? Could you see losing in the first or second round? Who do you want no part of out of that group you just mentioned? Who do you like the least?
Out of those teams, I would say I'm not huge on Tennessee. I know they're really good on defense, but there's too much offensive lulls, and you just can't have lulls, in the tournament, especially you're going against other good teams that are going to be able to score against you, even though you're number one. On defense, I just feel like you have a little bit too many offensive lulls if you're Tennessee. So I'm not a huge Tennessee guy.
Completely agree. Don't trust their coach. That's the one name as you were reading those names. That's the one team that really jumped out to me. Like I want no part of that team. I'd be shocked if they actually won it all. I don't believe in them.
Bama too. I don't like Bama either. They're 38th on offense, on defense. It's just not good enough. Well, what all they have to have is one bad 3-point shooting night, and it's goodbye.
Which they
And
had on Saturday. I think they were what, 5 of 27 from 3 on Saturday. They shot the ball terribly.
you're gonna shoot that. You're gonna be playing in these arenas that you don't usually play in. That has a tendency to go against good 3-point
Right.
shooting teams in general. So to me, it's gonna be hard to go 6 games where you don't have a clanker from shooting, if you're just a shooting team. And that's what Alabama is. They're a shooting team. They've got to outscore you, so they can't really afford. Look, defense always can show up, but offense sometimes can't.
Yeah, and they shot 5 of 26 against Auburn. Otherwise, they shoot slightly better. They win that game. Same sort of thinking with St. John's. Do you believe that St. John's could actually win 6 in a row? I was looking at the East region. If they ever get in the East, and I don't like the fact that you could be a 4 seed and get home court, but they could be in a situation where they get the first 2 games in Providence, then the next 2 games, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in Newark, New Jersey, if they're in the East, which again is not fair. Do you believe what's your take here on St.
I mean,
John's?
that'll help them, of course, but they're a defensive team, and they do have too many offensive lulls. And if you're going to play against these really, really good teams, you cannot have these games where you just can't put the ball in the ocean. And that happens to St. John's from time to time, and I think that will spell the end for them. You got to be a consistent team. I'd rather have a team like, Purdue than St. John's, even though sitting at Purdue is kind of the flip side of St. John's. Very good on offense, not as good on defense. But I just feel like with that steady backcourt, they'll hang around and probably do it. I mean, look, both of those teams are not obviously favored to do it all, but I just think that the offense could be a problem for St. John's.
Who are some other before we get to some sleeper teams, what's your take on UConn? Because they're going to be, I think, a polarizing team once you get to March, because some people are going to say, you know what, it's just not the same team. I'm not backing them. Other people are going to say, oh, it's March. They can flip a switch and make a run. Oof, that was about an ugly loss as you can have Saturday to a god-awful, dreadful Seton Hall team to lose it the way they did. Is there any run coming for this Hurley team?
I mean, I had UConn money line from when they were down, I think about 5 points, and they were up 7 with 36 seconds left. Then they were up 5 in the overtime in the last minute, and couldn't close it out. Granted, the kid did get fouled on the last play, and they didn't call it, but still, that's just a horrendous loss. Had a horrible time getting the ball in bounds. UConn, their problem is they can't defend. They're pretty good on offense, but they can't defend. So, I mean, they're what are they on KenPom? They're 99 on defense. That's not going to get it done. This is not, the last 2 years of UConn.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I completely agree with you. I think they've been a fade, a team I want no part of. That being said, they're probably going to be on the 8-9, or they could be on the 8-9 line. If you're a 1 seed, you get UConn in the second round. I don't know if that's like a comfortable game, but it's just going to be weird to
Well,
see UConn in that
I wouldn't
scenario.
want to play him. I wouldn't want to play him if that's what you're saying. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, it's still Bobby Hurley. It's still, a very difficult team. I definitely wouldn't want to play him in a tournament situation. And I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled some upsets. But I just don't think they're going to make the run that they did in the past.
Do you think Hurley's gotten a little, his ego's gotten the best of him here, and he's gotten away from the basics? He's always, I mean, he always yells at the refs, but he's yelling at the fans at the Creighton game. I don't know, his teams just don't, they just don't look as buttoned up as they have in the past. Is it possible his ego's gotten the best of him a little bit?
I don't think it's his ego. I just don't think they have as much talent as some of
Okay.
those other teams. I mean, think about what those teams look like. The kid, what's his name? The Catalan is the 3-point shooter. What's his name? Alex what?
Caravan,
Caravan, not
yeah,
Catalan.
hasn't shot, hasn't
Alex
played well.
Caravan. Alex Caravan is like one of the top options. Before he was like a fifth option, and he would make wide open threes. That's a big difference, when that guy has to carry you scoring. So, I don't know. I just don't see it for UConn. Now, but that said, in the right matchup, I'd love to take him as a dog or something, but I just don't see them making the big run.
Who are some teams that you think could be sleepers? I know UC San Diego is a really good mid-major. They're flirting with maybe getting at large. St. Mary's is always a team that people like. You have a team, Maryland, with an impressive second half on Sunday against Iowa. They're good on both sides of the ball. Do you have some sleepers in your
Maryland.
mind
I
that
like
would?
Maryland a lot as a sleeper. And I like Texas A&M as a sleeper. I like both those teams. Maryland's a balanced team too. They can score and they can defend. So I'm a fan of both those teams. And I like Texas A&M. I like gritty teams in this tournament. Texas A&M to me feels like a real gritty kind of team. They've already had a bunch of comebacks on the road, and that means something. You can come back in these huge SEC games on the road and win these games. That to me, that's what I'm looking for in these kind of sleeper kind of teams. I'll tell you another team that no one talks about. Clemson's a pretty good team, and I like their coach a lot. And they have that kind of grittiness to them. Now they might not have the talent that some of these other clubs do, but I like them as a bit of a sleeper. As I look down from the 20s to the 40s, on the Ken Pom list of teams, and I do like St. Mary's, but the problem with St. Mary's is always who did they really play, and that always becomes difficult to suss out kind of what's going on with them. But Clemson's a team I like. Louisville is a team I really like.
He's a good coach.
I just and I like that point guard from Wisconsin that they got, Chucky Wepner or something. He's real good. Guard play is always a big deal in the tournament. I really like Louisville a lot.
You mentioned Wisconsin, so that made me think of it. They shot incredibly well Saturday against Purdue. I think 59% in the second half, some ridiculous clip from three. I feel like we go through this every year. Like, oh, this is this the year Wisconsin's different? They've had, the Bo Ryan teams in the past where they can't really score. They're grind out teams. This is a different type of team. Do you think they're different enough where they can actually, hold up the trophy at the end of the tournament?
No, they're much better on offense, but I don't think they have enough defense. I think that's their problem. I don't think they can get enough stops, to be something big time. As far as Wisconsin goes, I love their offense. Don't get it wrong. I mean, they're number six in the country on offense, which is pretty amazing. And they've got a lot of talent, but I just don't like I don't like the to me they're just not good enough on defense.
You watch a lot of these end games. What can you gather just big picture stuff in terms of how these coaches handle it at the end of the games? Is there more fouling, less fouling? I remember we talked last year, like, oh, these teams just aren't fouling as much and dragging out the games. Do you still feel that way this year? What are
Definitely,
you? Okay.
definitely. I feel there's definitely less fouling. There's so much more of this. Oh, let's try to get a steal first. First of all, some of these teams don't even know that they have to foul. Sometimes they're down six, they shoot the ball with like 38 seconds left, miss the shot, and they're messing around for 15 seconds until the coach yells at them to foul, which to me is just unbelievable. And you see it all the time. And then even when it's after a timeout, sometimes, they'll be down four, with 45 seconds left. And I'm like, well, okay, you could take 5, 6 seconds to try to get a steal. But if you don't get it, you can't waste 12, 15 seconds. And that's what these teams do now. And I think it definitely, there's been less fouling at the end of the games.
Our buddy Steve Fezzik, friend of the show, likes to play these situationals. This is a game Monday. I feel like Fez will be all over. Baylor laying 1.5 at home to Arizona. Arizona, a travel spot. They just played a tough physical game against Houston. They lose. Do you think this is a spot where Arizona is going to have a tough time on a quick turnaround travel following a physical game? Would you like Baylor in this spot or not necessarily?
I don't want Arizona. I don't want any part of Arizona. And I like Baylor. Baylor's kind of an interesting team, and they're definitely talented enough to go up against, this kind of skill level. They kind of play slow, but they're pretty good on offense, not as good on defense. But I just don't like I can't stand the coach of Arizona, and I just almost never will bet on them because, he just to me is not big time. And so, if anything, it'd be Baylor or nothing for me.
Yeah, it's not much of a Monday slate. Duke laying 14 and a half
Oh,
to Virginia.
I'll tell you somebody like a
Okay.
sleeper. BCU. That's a team I really now that's going to be a team that's going to be a real sleeper. They're not going to be, because they're only like 32nd in KenPom. But I just like that team. There's just a real grittiness to them. They defend, they do run. I like VCU a lot. That's a team I really, they might not have enough on offense to get there, but that's a team that I like. I'm looking down some of these other teams. It seems like New Mexico is like 38th. Forget about it. It's just not a gritty enough, in my opinion, team in the NCAA tournament when things get much more, scary and more suspense. That's a kind of team I just can't get behind. And there's a number of them like that. Like again, a team like Michigan again. So much talent and everything. I just don't feel it. I'm looking at some of these other teams down the line here a little bit, like Texas. Forget about it. I don't know what Texas is not good to me. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah, that's a bubble team. The SEC, by the way, 12, 13 teams. Do you think that iron sharpens iron and it's an advantage once you get to the tournament? Or especially if like you win the SEC tournament, you have to win three or four games. Do you think that'll just wear these teams out by the time they get to the tournament?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I kind of more lean towards what you were saying originally, which is that, when you play these tough games, that helps you in the tournament. I don't know. What do you think?
I think whatever happens, people will probably play the results, but I'd rather be too battle tested than not battle tested enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think you lean towards what I'm saying.
Yeah. One marquee game tomorrow on Monday, Duke, Virginia, Duke laying 14 and a half. That's a team we haven't talked about. What are your thoughts on Duke? And do you have anything in this game? Just initial
A
thoughts.
very good, obviously a very, very good team, Duke. I mean, obviously it's a good team, but for the amount of hype that they get, I just like they're number two in KenPom, number three in offense, number four in defense. Maybe it's just because they don't play enough real good teams, but to me, there's just something missing with Duke,
My, how the mighty have fallen. The ACC being as bad as it is, it's really strange when you grow up, but you're a certain age and you can remember, the Duke Carolina battles, and then you don't have to be that old, but Wake and all these teams that were so, it was such a loaded conference. Now it's really, it's like the JV circuit. It's really, it's as bad as I can ever remember.
Yeah, there's some bad teams. Oh, that reminds me of a team that I kind of like that no one ever, if you want like a deep, deep, deep,
All right, before you say it,
sleeper.
let me guess. Hold on. A deep, deep sleeper in the ACC. Are you going to say Wake?
Going to say
Oh,
SMU.
that's what I was going to think, but they got killed the other. Didn't they get killed on Saturday? So I didn't think you were going to say them.
They did, but before that, they had been playing
Yeah.
really well. They were beating everybody, but that's a team that I kind of like, the SMU team.
That's funny. That was going to be my guess, but I was like, they just got killed. He's not going to say SMU. Yeah, that's
Another, I'll tell you another team that's kind of deep down that you don't think about. Xavier. They're probably, were they a bubble team considered? Are they considered a bubble team, Xavier? I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not. Let's see. I can look in a second here. No, but I agree with you. I've watched them a number of times. They're tough. They're physical. They
Yeah, I like
they
the
play good
coach.
defense, and
I
they're
like
well
the coach.
coached. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. Any other big picture thoughts? College basketball.
Big picture thoughts. I don't know. I think there's a lot more parity this year than we've seen in recent years. There's a lot of good teams, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes out of nowhere, to win this year. Because to me, a lot of these teams, they have holes. Now, granted, Auburn's great. Duke, Houston has holes. Houston's a much better offensive team than they've been in the past. But that's why I kind of like Florida. No one's really talking about Florida.
All right, last two before we let you go. You always talk about this in college football, the NFL, these teams make mistakes because they don't watch enough games. They draft all these busts. If the Tennessee Titans, who have the first pick, called you and said, "Todd, we need your help. We need your advice. We haven't watched any games. Should we draft Sanders? Should we draft Ward? Should we draft a defensive player? What should we do with our pick?" Your answer would be what? What would be your advice?
Would I take Sanders? No, I would not take Sanders. I'm not a big Cam Ward fan. I'm not a big Sanders fan. They might both be end up being great. To me, Jackson Dart is as good as both of those guys. You can get them way
I
further
agree.
down. I'm not a big fan of either of those guys. I don't know what all the hype is about. Cam Ward, I don't. I mean, he's obviously a talented player, but you're going to somehow extrapolate what was going on over there with the National Football League. He's like standing flat-footed back there and deciding what to do. And Sanders would just run around a lot. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they'll both be good. I don't know if they're like, to me, they're not, certainly not slam dunk, top picks.
You don't think getting great coaching by Mario Cristobal is indicative of success at the next level?
Mario Cristobal may be my most unfavorite coach in the history of college football, aside from Lane, roll it, run it up, Kiffin, Mr. throwing the ball up 78-0 against Furman. That's a guy I don't like. I'm not a big fan. And you know what? I'm not a big fan of his Twitter feed either. I don't want to see all his daughters and this and that. How about this, Lane? Run the fucking ball when it's 78-0. Pardon my language.
I can't disagree. Last one. I mentioned friend of the show, Steve Fezzik. He's been chirping a lot in our group chat about beating you in tennis. Is he capable of beating you? What would that score look like if that match took place today?
I just don't. I won't even respond to this. Like, responding to the question is like a silly thing. That's like saying, "Oh, can Merrimack win the NCAA tournament?" Come on, it's a ridiculous question. Yeah, there has to be a predicate for a question. The guy is horrendous. I beat him when I was 324 pounds, and I didn't just beat him; I killed him. Okay, do you know how fat 324 pounds is? You can barely move. All I had to do was slap the ball to his horrendous backhand, and he's just a joke. He's as jokey as the prices that he complains about as Starbucks in tennis. He is an embarrassment to the sport.
Todd, appreciate the time. We got to do this more often. Let everyone know where they can find you. What, tw at Twitter at T Weshnev,
At
at
T
T
Wishnet,
Weshnev? Yeah.
yeah. You can catch me over there and DM me if you want to be in my WhatsApp group. Every once in a while, I'll put people in it. For my in-game stuff, but I just been lazy and haven't done it lately. But when I finally get around to it, if you DM me, I'll try to do it.
I feel like you end every one, like when we're doing the Megapod, with the same thing. I've been lazy and haven't done it lately. Is
Good.
that is
I'm allowed to be
what is
lazy.
lazy?
I'm allowed to be lazy. I gave people a million times in the beginning, so it's like,
Yeah.
what am I supposed to do here? Administration all day?
Todd, appreciate it, man. This was fun. Thanks.
Not a problem, Willie.
All right. Thanks to Todd Wishnev. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.